Well, it's been a busy week. I feel like I could say that virtually every week, but it really has been a busy week in tech and biotech. First, there was Governor Charlie Baker's $500 million life sciences investment. Then the news that the Federal Trade Commission is moving to block the proposed merger of two of the largest daily fantasy sports websites in the country, including Boston-based DraftKings. And then, just yesterday, the big shakeup at Uber after CEO Travis Kalanick resigned. So joining us to make sense of it all is Asma Khalid. She leads Bostonomics, WBUR's business and technology team. Hello, Asma.
Hey, Meghna.
So help me make sense of this, okay?
I will try.
And let's start with that big story out of the life sciences, the one that you actually broke, that $500 million.
Yes. And so, Meghna, that one, hopefully I can help sort of explain to folks. So we did have the scoop on Monday morning that Governor Baker's administration is planning to invest $500 million over the next 5 years in the life sciences. And essentially, what that means is that he's committed to renewing the state's investment in this sector. This all, probably you remember, goes back to 2008 when former governor Deval Patrick launched this 10-year, $1 billion investment in the Life Sciences Center. And, you know, I would say, Meghna, I spent a lot of time actually just talking to people in and around the biotech community for this this big story we did on Monday. And some people told me that really they don't feel like the sector needs the help of the government anymore.
Oh.
It's mature. But other people told me it is needed, right? They worry that some of the things that are not seen as being as profitable for short or sort of midterm investment is stuff that the government can help fund. And for Governor Baker, it seems like he seems to, you know, agree with that assessment. He spoke about his financial commitment earlier this week at the International Bio Conference being held in San Diego. And he said that a big part of what he's hoping to do with this money is around workforce development.
One of the big messages we hear over and over again from folks like you is that we need to do more with respect to the pipeline. We need more folks coming into the field.
I know, Meghna, it's really
standing quite off mic, as we might say in the business.
Okay, but just to quickly recap, I mean, the governor was saying that he hears all the time from people like the biotech folks in the room that we need more folks in the workforce development arena, that that's where there sort of needs to be more of a public-private partnership where the state could chip in and help.
Okay, interesting. Now, given the fact that, as you said, this is in some ways is a continuation of an investment or an idea that's been going on since 2008 here, I mean, were you surprised or not by Baker's announcement?
So, Meghna, in a former life, I was a political reporter. I actually covered government. Governor Baker's election. And I remember that, you know, throughout that first campaign and when he was even elected just shortly after, he would talk about being really reluctant to pick winners and losers.
Right.
And he said that so many times. And I would say that there were signs recently that it seems that he felt differently about the life sciences. Perhaps most notably, he was actually the keynote speaker at the Mass Bio Conference this year. And I think, Meghna, he seems to have understood how much of an economic boom the life sciences is to the state, you know, specifically to the Boston area. And I would say, you know, he acknowledged that. This week when he spoke, he talked about the fact that it's not just private investment. It's actually key public investments that have helped Massachusetts become the leader that it is.
Okay, so but give us a sense of scale here, though. I mean, $500 million, half a billion, it feels like a lot. Is that a lot of money for this sector?
So, Meghna, there's like no way to say this without actually sounding crass, but there is so much money currently being just thrown into the biotech community here in Boston. I talked to one VC that's raised $7.5 billion for its company.
Just as one VC?
Yes, one VC. And there
wow.
are quite a few VCs who okay. are specifically focused on the life sciences. What I would say, though, is that even with all this private investment, right, there is still a desire that people have that the government in particular can fund kind of workforce development, maybe big infrastructure, things that are just different and things that the private sector won't fund. And I heard that from Bob Tepper. He's the founder of Third Rock Ventures. That's a VC firm that's focused specifically on life sciences.
The lion's share of investment, of course, comes from the private sector. Where I think both the state and in particular, the federal government really needs to focus is on making sure that we just have as much of an investment as we could possibly afford in basic science.
Okay, so is that what this $500 million is going to be used for, though?
A lot of it will be around workforce development, right? And so Charlie Baker did talk a bit about that being tied in with some of the sort of idea that Massachusetts does a good job at STEM education, but sometimes that needs to be translated into actual jobs in the field.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's move on to another story in the world of tech, and this actually has to do with the FTC and its announcement that it intends to block the merger of FanDuel and DraftKings, to the largest online fantasy sports leagues. What's going on there?
So, Meghna, the FTC said in a statement that if the merger between these two companies went through, together they would control about 90% of the online fantasy sports industry, right? So you're thinking, like, this is a total monopoly. Well, DraftKings is based here in Boston. FanDuel is from New York. But sort of if they merge, this is what the FTC warned about. And the acting director of the FTC's Bureau of Competition said that the merger would, quote, deprive customers of the substantial benefits of direct competition. This is a story that my colleague Zeninjor reported out this week, and she discovered that the CEOs of both companies actually issued a joint statement to talk about how disappointed they were with this decision.
Of course.
And part of this, Meghna, is, you know, you probably remember that here in Massachusetts, the AG has pushed to regulate the sector, saying that online gaming is kind of akin to maybe illegal sports gambling. There's some concerns about all of this. Well, both of these two companies seem to want to merge because it'll help them reduce costs and kind of fight back against that regulation.
That's always the claim with these mergers, that it would introduce efficiencies that they couldn't have as separate entities.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. All right, so that's the FTC putting the kibosh on the fantasy sports
league. And
it's
not official, right? They're proposing to merge, so this does have to go through the courts still.
Okay, but. Okay. So I was closing the story too early. We'll see what happens. Now, in the last minute that we have here, we just have to at least mention what happened with Uber. Headquarters based in California, but lots of ties here to Boston, specifically that one of the major investors in Uber is Boston-based Fidelity.
Yes, and Meghna, this story fascinated me. I mean, it all comes originally from the New York Times' Mike Allen, who broke this story. He reported news of this shareholder letter, right? This is the letter that was given to the Uber CEO saying that he essentially needed to leave, and there were five shareholders listed. Some of the other people are these traditional VC California firms, but on that list was also Fidelity. And Meghna, that's what amazed me, is just that Fidelity isn't this big old traditional bank, but also investing in unicorn startups like Uber.
Interesting. And also showing some shareholder or investor activism, which I didn't think was terribly typical for Fidelity. Well, Asma Khalid is the head of Bostonomics, our business and innovation team. Remember, you can follow them at Twitter at Bostonomics, O-M-I-X.
Thank
you so very much.
And thank you for spelling our Twitter handle.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.